If the Murray-Ryan budget agreement is agreed to by the Senate and signed by the President, it would give the Defense Department more of a gradual glide path to the budget limits imposed by the 2011 Budget Control Act. Instead of the sequestration budget figure of $498 billion this year, DOD would have $521 billion. The figures for 2016 and beyond are unchanged, but Eric Fanning, the acting Secretary of the Air Force, told reporters Friday that the military would now at least have time to prepare for those lower spending levels.
We are encouraged by the budget compromise that is being debated on the Hill right now and hope for its passage. While it still takes us down to numbers lower than we would like and doesn't solve all of our problems, it at least provides some relief over the next 2 years, additional funds that will help us with our readiness shortfalls. And it allows for some stability in planning, something we've been without for far too long. But even with this relief, we will need to resize the Air Force to one that is smaller than it is today, in order to protect investments we need for the future and to shape an Air Force that we can keep ready. The sooner we can get on that path, the sooner we can get to a new normal for our airmen, uniformed and civilian, and allow them to return their attention more fully to the mission that attracted them to service in the first place.
And conducting that resizing will inevitably require the Air Force to propose cutting out programs that have strong political constituencies, Fanning says. In some areas, he says the Air Force has even less room to maneuver because Congress has prohibited it from making decisions like closing bases.
It's important to remember that we can't view these cuts individually and ad hoc and in isolation. We need to remember, even with the relief this budget compromise offers in the next 2 years, we are building a budget that includes steep cuts. If something is restored to the budget we present to the Hill, something else will need to go. So while we wait to see what level of funding the Air Force will ultimately be given for this year and next, we need to be prepared for real change.
Among the hardest changes to sell on the Hill, the Air Force has already made clear that it believes it will likely have to deactivate entire fleets of aircraft in order to meet the Budget Control Act, especially types that have a limited number of roles and missions. The A-10 attack jet is mentioned frequently, although General Mark Welsh, the Air Force Chief of Staff, says no decisions have been made yet on any airframes.
The other thing we have to factor in, having nothing to do with any specific airplane, is how do you save dollars that have a B after them instead of amounts of dollars that have an M after them? And to do that, you have to start talking about fleet divestitures, because you have to get rid of the infrastructure behind the aircraft, the logistics tail, the supply systems, the facilities that do all the logistical support, depot maintenance, et cetera. That's where you create big savings. So to find $12 billion a year, we have to look at chunks of money. That's why we're having this discussion, and it's a long way from over. I've said this before, there's proponents for a whole lot of systems, and I agree with all of them. But somebody has to balance this, and I believe that's our job.
The Air Force is also laying in plans to downsize its force, both uniformed and civilian. Earlier in the week, the service announced its plans to trim its civilian workforce by 900 positions during 2014 and leave another 7,000 unfilled jobs vacant. In the coming weeks, it's planning to announce details on voluntary and involuntary programs to cut thousands of uniformed airmen over the next 5 years, including early retirement boards and voluntary separation pay programs.
We'd love to get all this done with voluntary force shaping measures over a period of time. And if we have the leeway based on budget decisions to do that, we'll go that route. If we don't and we have to take involuntary measures, I would like everyone to have at least 6 months of time to talk to their family, to think about the impact this could have on them, to look at with a reality-based approach to where they are in their career, where they're going in their career, are they really at risk for any of these measures occurring to them, and have that conversation with someone in their immediate chain of command. So they have people talking to them, giving them the facts, so they can make a fact-based decision as opposed to an emotional one. That's the reason for putting the guidance out early. I hope that something changes in the budget environment 3 months from now. We put out a note saying, never mind, don't have to do any of that.
With the limited budget relief it's expecting in 2014, the Air Force plans to focus its attention on readiness, Welsh says. The Air Force says that's the area that was damaged most by sequestration in 2013, when it had to cut back on flying and training hours and ground entire air wings.
It's at the top of our payback list. And so if we get any more funding here in the first couple of years of sequestration, clearly it doesn't change the long-term picture of sequestration, but it allows us to put money back into near-term readiness, which is a really good thing, because what sequestration does essentially for the Air Force is it gives us a dilemma. Do we keep near-term readiness, or do we fund long-term modernization and capability in the future? That's the balance we're trying to walk. But readiness for the Air Force kind of has another implication to me, and that's what makes a difference between our Air Force and other Air Forces. It's not just size, it's also capability. A lot of Air Forces have airplanes, they all have weapons, they all train to use them. But the difference in the United States Air Force is the way we train, the level of sophistication in our training, the difficulty of our training, which is what makes our force so good when real contingencies and conflict arise.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.